from KQED.
This Memorial Day weekend, many families will visit grave sites to honor those killed in the military. But this next story is about families who have no grave sites to go to. Instead, to remember their loved ones, Cambodian Americans are teaching a younger generation about their people's history. Reporter Dwahli Saikautau has this story from Long Beach.
Check, check. What's up, man?
Rapper Joan Lee helped ring in the Khmer New Year, or Cambodian New Year, last month. The young audience at Eldorado Park knows a lot about Lee's music, but probably less about the Killing Fields, or the Communist Party of Cambodia, known as the Khmer Rouge. And since New Year also marks the 38th anniversary of the rise of this socialist regime, local leaders are holding informal teach-ins. Over at nearby MacArthur Park, a different audience watches a video of Cambodians testifying about the atrocities they witnessed between 1975 and 1979. That's when an estimated 2 million people were killed by the Khmer Rouge. 67-year-old Kano Nuon fled Cambodia 2 years later.
We try to teach the new generation to remember, to understand, but they are more American.
Nuon says he nearly starved to death in a Khmer Rouge labor camp.
That time, very hard for me. I'm sorry. I still remember it. About my hard time with the communists, you know. That's it. I'm sorry about that, okay?
Another survivor is Bryant Ben. He's president of the Killing Fields Memorial Center, a group raising money to construct a memorial park in Long Beach. Ben says the memories are painful, but the older generation must tell their stories.
The picture that you see here is my oldest brother. His name is Sarun Ben.
The brothers were imprisoned in a makeshift Khmer Rouge labor camp at a temple in the Cambodian countryside. The last time the brothers saw each other, Ben was about to have rice soup for lunch. His brother managed to get close enough to slip him some anti-diarrhea pills.
He came, sneaked behind me. He gave me some medicine. He said, "This is all that's what he has. Take care of yourself." He told me, "Take care." The last time I could hear from him.
Among those on the regime's hit list were intellectuals, college students like Ben and his brother. During an interrogation, Ben lied about his studies. His brother Sarun did not. The Khmer Rouge killed Sarun and would also execute Ben's father, four of his brothers and sisters. In an auditorium at Long Beach City College, a Buddhist monk offers a New Year blessing. At this event, more survivors of the Cambodian genocide are reaching out to both college and high school students.
I don't really know much about the genocide because my mom doesn't tell me about it. And my grandma don't want to tell me about it.
Jenna Coy is a senior at Long Beach Polytechnic High School.
They probably don't want us to know how their life used to be in Cambodia. And I just don't ask them.
But on this day, Coy is about to learn why some first-generation refugees have difficulty talking about their past. Victory Heng was a child when the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia. He used to tell people that the communists killed his father, but for the first time, he admits before an audience of several hundred people that his father actually committed suicide.
"No, my father was not a coward. My father was a hero and the preserver of our lives."
"So much for being here. It's not by chance, but by choice that you all here tonight."
Sarah Pol Lim is executive director of United Cambodian Community. She organized this speak out, in part because she says studies by the RAND Corporation showed Cambodian refugees still struggle with major depression and an unusually high rate of PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder.
"The ripple effect of that post-traumatic stress syndrome doesn't go to second generation. It will go to third, it will go to fourth, if we will never talk about it."
To encourage parents and children to talk about the Cambodian genocide, Paul Lim invited Judy Green of Temple Israel in Long Beach to share her experience as a second-generation Holocaust survivor. Green remembers asking her mom,
"What happened to my grandparents?" And my mother's face turned in such a way that I never asked my mother that question again.
33 years later, Green's mother slowly began to talk about the day when her father was taken away by Nazi soldiers and never seen again.
It is a long time before you can begin to even come close to some of the conversations where there's great pain.
These conversations, Green adds, begin the process of healing a community that has lost so much and so many. For the California Report, I'm Duahli Saikautau in Long Beach.